Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you sent upon the disciples the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, look upon your church and open our hearts to the power of the Spirit. Kindle in us the fire of your love and strengthen our lives for service in your kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There move the ships, and there is that leviathan which you have made for the sport of it.
All of them to you, give them their food in due season.
You give it to them, they gather it, you open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
You hide their faces, and they are terrified. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth.
May the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works.
He looks at the earth, and it trembles. He touches the mountains, and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being.
May these words of mine please him. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, my soul.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, the 8th chapter. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides in you, and he will be in you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Are you familiar with the poet Annie Dillard? She's a contemporary writer who lives in Connecticut. And she wrote a book called Teaching a Stone to Talk. And this is a quote from that book. On the whole, I do not find Christians, outside of the catacombs, sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea of what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, making up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness for ladies to wear hats straw hats, velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares, and they should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, and the waking God may draw us out where we can never return. So today we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus to send the Advocate to be with us, the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts, the power of the Spirit to come to us. So do we believe it, or is it like Annie Dillard suspects, that we haven't the foggiest idea of what sort of power God has given to us? When we started our service this morning, we turned and focused our attention on the font and remembered our baptism. And we start every service this way, reminding ourselves of the truth that flows from that font, reminding ourselves that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever, reminding ourselves that we are sinners and yet we have been forgiven, that we are brought into this family of believers, that we are brought into this relationship with Jesus Christ and his Father. Listen again to the words that were prayed this morning. Our Savior has delivered you from the power of darkness and welcomed you into the realm of light. Power and light, are those just empty words? Or is that power and light of the Holy Spirit mixed in with those words and that water, moving each of us who are the baptized Christians to claim that truth, to claim the truth that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are the beloved children of God. We claim in the sacrament of baptism that we are washed in the water and the Spirit. Not water only, but water and the Spirit. And today on the Feast of Pentecost, we are called to remember that, to remember that we have been washed in the water and the Spirit, and that we are claimed by God. We are adopted by God. We are the children of God and heirs with Christ. Judy was a young girl when the polio epidemic swept through the country. I think that was in the early 50s, maybe late 40s. And she was not crippled, as so many people were, by that disease, but the doctors told her that she would probably never be able to have children. Judy and Mike were married maybe 7-10 years when they started all the proceedings to have an adoption. And lots of red tape, takes a lot of time. End of story, Judy and Mike ended up with two babies, the baby that was adopted and their own child that she delivered 2 weeks apart. These two babies came to their home. And this is part of the story. It happened either maybe a stranger in the park or somebody in the grocery store, or maybe it was in a doctor's office or preschool registration. Anyway, somebody noticing that they had that she had two children of the same age, she said, "Oh, how lucky, you've got twins." She said, "Well, they're not twins. One of them's adopted." And the woman looked at Judy and said, "Which one?" And Judy said, "Oh, I don't remember." So much, those two children had become family, had become part of her heart, part of her life that she didn't know. She didn't know which one was or wasn't born of her body. They were both born of her soul, born in her heart. My friends, you and I have been adopted into the family of God. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. That same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus, that same DNA of life that in Jesus Christ is in us. We are brothers and sisters through the waters of baptism. We are that family. Do you look like your siblings? Do you look like your brothers and sisters at all? There's a lot of family resemblances. Maybe not only physical resemblance, but traits, habits, manner of speech, the way you walk. The Hansen family lived right across the street from us on the corner. Big family, 8 or 9 kids. And my dad used to tease us and say, around dinner time, why don't you just go over to the Hansons? You know, they wouldn't notice a couple extra kids at their dinner table. Why don't you go over there and eat? But they would have noticed, because all of those Hanson kids look exactly alike. From the oldest girl who was in high school to the little one in the high chair around the table, all of their faces were exactly the same. And besides that, they had names that rhymed. Julie, Johnny, Jimmy, Jerry, Jackie. Curly-haired Karen would not have fit in that family. I would have been found out as the neighbor kid. I wouldn't have blended in. I was an outsider. Now, my friend John does not look at all like his father, but they are exactly the same. They laugh at the same stupid jokes. They drink the same brand of soda. They drive the same brand of car. And they can beat the socks off anybody playing poker. They don't look at all alike, but like father, like son, they are exactly alike. Can people say that about you? Are you like your heavenly father? Are you exactly like your father in heaven? Are you like your brother Jesus? Do you have the same traits, the same way of walking, the same way of talking as your brother Jesus? Can others look at us and know exactly what family we belong to? Can they pick us out? Are we so like our brother that we could never be mistaken for the neighbor kid? We belong to that family. Jesus tells Philip that he and the Father are so much alike that to see one is to see the other. You and I are invited into a relationship through the power and the light of the Holy Spirit, through the sacrament of baptism, to be in that relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Father. To be in that family. We're brought into that family with its traits and habits, with its words and deeds that are just like the Father, just like Jesus Christ. We are adopted into that family. We belong there. Luke says that on this day of Pentecost, when the promised Holy Spirit came, the disciples jumped up and took it to the street. They could not keep that good news to themselves. The work of Jesus Christ was continuing. Even though Jesus had ascended to heaven, was again with his heavenly Father, the work of Jesus, the life of Jesus, continued in the power and the light of the Holy Spirit. Those disciples, filled with that power, could not keep it in. There was so much power, it flowed out, it burst out, it shone out of the house, and all could see it. Luke says, and the people were amazed at the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 of our gospel today says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. We look like Jesus when we're doing the work of Jesus. We look like our brother when we're acting like our brother. So what are the works? What did Jesus say in this gospel that his work is? His work is to reveal the Father. to point to the Father, to show the world and anyone, to show everyone who the Father is, to point to God. And our work is the same. That's our work too. So can other people, looking at you and I, hearing our words, looking at our actions, know that we are revealing the Father? How are we doing? How good a job are we doing at revealing God, at letting people know who is our brother, who is our Father? If the people were to ask us, like Philip asked Jesus, show me the God, show me the Father, how would you answer? How should we respond when people ask, either in word or just watching, show me the Father? Kind of a frightening question. If we think about this responsibility that we have, that it's our responsibility to reveal God and show people who the Father is. Well, the good news is that we don't have to do this by ourselves. It's not me that does it. It's the Holy Spirit in me that can do that work. It's not you who can reveal the Father. You can't do that on your own. But God does that in you. The Holy Spirit in you reveals the Father. Every word, every action, every breath that we take as Christian people, as the baptized believers of Jesus Christ, as the beloved sons and daughters of God, reveal the Father, because the Holy Spirit is doing this in us. So on this Pentecost morning, let me ask you a question. Where's the power and the light? Where is that energy and that enthusiasm and that spirit that God has poured out in the sacrament of baptism? Where is that life that we stand and say together that we believe and hold? Where is that power and light in you? Is it bursting out, flowing out, running over? Or are you trying to keep a lid on it? Do we try to hold the Spirit in? Do we try to limit God's power that is in us? Jesus promised, if in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. So ask anyway. Go ahead. Ask. Don't be measly in your request. Don't be measly in your prayer. Don't be stingy in asking for little bits. Jesus said, if you ask for anything in my name, I will give it to you. We share as sons and daughters of God, as the beloved children of God, we share that inheritance. We're on the will. You know, part of it belongs to us. Ask for it. We belong to this family. Jesus says, stay connected. Stay apart, connected to that family. Connected to that promise of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? How do we stay connected to that power of the Holy Spirit, that name of Jesus that's in us? One way we stay connected is by eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus Christ at this altar, coming here to be nourished. That's a way that we stay connected. We stay connected by remembering the actions and the words of Jesus Christ, by reading the sacred scriptures and filling our heads and our hearts with the words and the memory of Jesus Christ. How do we expect to shine out the light of Christ unless that light is bright within us? And it is bright within us, because we are the baptized children of God. We are the beloved children of Jesus Christ. And on this Pentecost day, we remember the words of Jesus, that this Holy Spirit is poured out on us, poured out, filling us to overflowing with that power and that light. Stay connected. You know, you can't run a power drill unless it's plugged into the wall. We can't expect to proclaim, to reveal the Father. We can't expect to do the work of Jesus Christ. We can't expect that power and light of the Holy Spirit to fill us and God's world unless we stay connected. May God's blessings fill you. May you always stay connected to that power source, to Jesus Christ. Amen.